Hey, today's daf is by Basra Daf Mem. Hey, today's shir is sponsored by Moshe Zucker of London, Lezecher Nishmas Naftali ben Shmuel Zichrono Levracha. His father, whose yard site was yesterday, the neshama of Naftali ben Shmuel Zichrono Levracha, should have an aliyah through the zechus of our learning, and we thank Moshe very much for the sponsorship. We're holding four lines from the bottom on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the word Gufa. We're going to go back to the halacha that if you sold a field to somebody, shelo ba'achrayus, even though you took no responsibility for what happens to that field after you sold it, if someone comes and makes a claim against that field, you are not eligible to testify to keep the field in the hands of the person that you sold it to. So we're going to discuss why not. You have nothing to lose if it gets taken away from him, so why wouldn't you be eligible to testify that it actually belongs to him? Then the Gemara is going to discuss to what extent a mocher is responsible to reimburse a lokeach who bought a donkey from him if a guy comes and takes that donkey away from the lokeach. So I sell you a donkey and a guy comes and just seizes the donkey from you. To what extent do I have a responsibility to reimburse you? Under which circumstances do I have to reimburse you? In which circumstances do we say it's not my problem? The guy is stamaganov and I don't have to deal with the fact that he stole from you. Then the Gemara is going to have on the bottom of Amud Aleph a machlokas between Rabba and Abaye. If we know the Mishnah said that an Uman doesn't have a chazaka, someone who fixes things, a tailor, let's say, doesn't have chazaka in all the clothing that's in his shop. But there's a machlokas if an Uman is believed to say that the item belongs to him if you gave it to him without Edim, meaning when you gave it to the Uman, you never demanded that there be Edim that see that you gave it to him. So would we then believe him to say that it's mine, it's not yours, that this is my item? That's going to be a machlokas between Rabba and Abaye. Abaye is going to challenge Rabba from several places, and that's going to lead to a little bit of a discussion of, in general, when you give a pikadon with Edim, is the assumption that you better give it back with Edim, that the person has to be careful to not give it back without Edim, because if you aren't trusted to receive it without Edim, there's not going to be any trust in that relationship. You got to make sure to give it back with Edim. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to bring a raya for Rabba that if you give it without Edim, the Uman can say that it is in fact his item. And then we'll see probably in tomorrow's daf the Gemara is going to have one final proof against Rabba, and that's going to be the Maskana, where there will ultimately be a Tiyufta on Rabba. So let's begin four lines from the bottom of the page, Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Gufa. Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Shmuel Hamocher Sada Lechaver Shelo Ba'achrayus Ein Meil Lo Ala Mipnei Shemamid B'fnei Balchovo. If I sell you a field and I take no responsibility for what happens to this field after the sale, if it gets taken away from you, you have no tainus, you cannot come back to me. Still, I'm not allowed to be made that the field belongs to you. When someone makes a claim against it, I cannot testify that the field belongs to you, because I prefer that you keep the field so that when my Balichov, people I owe money to, need to come and collect, they'll be able to come collect from that field. If a ma'arer takes it away from you and insists that it never belonged to me in the first place, then my bali chov aren't going to be able to collect that field from you. So I want you to have it so that my bali chov will have where to collect from. So says Gemara, well, hey chidami, what exactly is the case? What is my financial situation where I benefit from the fact that the guy I sold the field to will have that field? Ida islay ara achriti aleidi. If I have other lands, so my balichov aren't going to go to you. They're not going to go to the lokeach to collect. They'll come to me to collect. So I don't benefit at all by leaving it by having it by the lokeach. Anyway, it's not going to help. They're not going to go to the lokeach. They're going to come straight to the source. They're going to come straight to me. Tosfos asks the question, have a matzi lishnuye. Why don't we just answer kigon shasa aputiki? Maybe they won't come straight to me, even if I have other land, because maybe this land that I had sold to you is an apotiki. It's a land that's designated dafka to pay back these chovos. Now the balichov aren't going to go back to the other lands that I have. Vim tipol biyada ma'arer, and therefore I stand to lose if the person who's being ma'arer on this field ends up with it. Yipara lo acheras. Then when the balichov come collecting, I'm going to have to give up another field. And therefore I can't testify about this, because that would taka make me an ogeya be'edus. So Tosos Tosus really is asking a question, but he sort of answers it. He says, yeah, in Achirami, the Gemara could have given this answer, but the Gemara gives a different answer. So Tosus seems to assume that everything he said is true, that if I make a land in Aputiki and I sell it to you, even if I have plenty of other property, my Balei Chov can go to the Nuchasu Meshubadim because that's their Aputiki. And if that Aputiki gets taken away, only then can they go to my Nechasim Nechor and to what I actually have. The Ritva, based on this Kasha, says that no, you see that even by an Apotiki, you can be Govim Mibnei Chorin, that even when I designate a land as an apotiki, if I no longer own that land, the Balei Chov are going to come to my other property, to my Bnei Chorin. The Sefer HaTrumos answers Tosfos Kasha that by an apotiki mefurush, he's not considered to be a nogea be'edus, because even if it becomes clear that the field didn't belong to him, still the lokeach can't go back to the mocher, because a din of an apotiki mefurush is like someone who buys a field shaloba achrayus, where you're not able to go back to the mocher. And even based on what the Gemara is going to answer, that he's considered nogea be'edus because of love of Russia, he doesn't want to have a bad reputation, he's not considered a love of Russia in this case, because he could say, look, you were irresponsible for buying it shalom ba'achrei. So anyway, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying, what exactly is the situation? If I have other properties, it doesn't benefit me at all for the lokech to keep the property that I sold him, because the Baal Chov is not going to go to that property anyway. He's going to go to my other properties. And if I have no other properties, well then really, my nafkale mina, why would I be nogea at all? Well, it doesn't affect me at all, because what's going to happen? Someone that I owe money to wants to collect. I have nothing. So if a lokeach that I sold it to has it, he'll be able to collect from that lokeach. And if he doesn't have it, he's still not going to be able to come to me because I have nothing. So what's he going to do? He's going to be stuck anyway. So I'm not going to have to pay anything anyhow. So what difference does it make to me? Tosfos raises the question, Tema de nafkamina sheyiftru miyasasher. Sure, there could be a nafkamina. What a nafkamina would be, what if I subsequently get rich and then the Baal Chov wants to come collect? So if I get rich, he'll be able to, if the lokeach still has the property, he'll be able to go take it from the lokeach. But if not, then I'm going to have to pay. So says Tosfos v'shem b'shvil kein ein l'posel la'edus kivin dahashal lo marviach midi. Maybe for the chashash that you might get rich, you know, for the dollar in a dream, you're not going to pasel him la'edus, because right now he's not really benefiting anything. Meaning, given his current situation, we don't view it as if he's benefiting anything. The ktsos is mechalik. The ktsos siman lamed zayin says that when the psul were to be a psul min haTorah, like a place where a situation where a guy is made la'atzmo and adam korovets la'atzmo, we'd be choshesh if even right now he doesn't have something, but shemiyeh lo ba'asid, what might happen in the future would be of concern to us. The thing is that over here it's not even a chashash midaraisa, it's a chashash midrabanan, because he's not being made for himself, he's being made for a lokeach. Elamai, the fact that it's by the lokeach may one day affect him, so that's not a chashash daraisa. That's a chashash meshaker midrabanan. For a chashash meshaker midrabanan, we're not going to start thinking about, oh, how might this affect him if his situation changes. But if it were a chashash midaraisa, then we would be thinking along those lines. So anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying, why is it that I'm not allowed to be made for my lokeach, for the guy who bought it from me, that this land belongs to him, if after all, I stand nothing to gain? If I have other properties, I'm going to have to pay my Balei Chov myself. If I have no other properties, I'm never going to have to pay anything anyhow, whether the lokeach keeps it or not. So says Gemara Liolim Delesle Arachriti. We're dealing with a case where I have no other properties. Da'amar, and why am I nogea? Why do I want my Baal Chov to be able to collect from this lokeach? Anyway, the Baal Chov is not going to be able to come to me. Da'amar lo nicha delavi lo v'rosh v'lo yishalim. Because I don't want to be a person who borrows money from people and doesn't pay the money back. So I want my Balei Chov to be able to go to this property to collect so that I will be able to pay up my Chovos. It's unpleasant not to be able to pay up the Chovos. I don't want to be that guy. Says Gemara, sof, l'gabi yidach nami, lo v'rosh. But guess what? You're going to be a lover of Rosh Hashanah Yishalim either way. Someone's going to have tainas on you. So it's not going to be your Baal Chov. Your Baal Chov will now be able to collect. The lokeach who bought a property from you and now had it seized from him, he's going to have tainas on you. He's going to say that you're a Rasha. No, that's not a Rasha. You paid a cheaper price for this property. property because of the fact that there was no achrayus on the property. So, you know, that's the risk you took. When you take a risk like that, so that's what's that's part of the deal. But that doesn't make me a Rasha. If I borrow money from someone and I don't pay him back, that makes me a Rasha. But I sell you something, shalom achrayus, and it happens to be someone takes it away from you, that's why I sold it to you, shalom achrayus, and that's why you probably paid a cheaper price for it because you didn't insist that there be achrayus. Now, the Rishonim raised the question, what's the whole reason that we don't trust the guy to be meyid, that this field belongs to the lokeach? Of course he's going to lie and say it belongs to the lokeach. He doesn't want to be a Rasha that doesn't pay back his debt. So the Rishonim say he doesn't want to be a Rasha, and that yet we're concerned he's going to lie, he's going to testify falsely. If he doesn't want to be a Rasha, he won't testify falsely either. Someone who's meyid the sheker is also called a Rasha. The pasuk says v'tzikos atzadik v'yeshuas a Rasha v'yam bin hakos a Rasha, that a person who testifies falsely is absolutely a Rasha. So how's he helping himself in any way by being meyid sheker more than by not paying back his chovos? In any event, he's a Rasha. The Rimi Gash says, and don't tell me that the fact that we're not mekabel as edus is not because we think that he's going to lie, but rather because we think he's going to misjudge, and he's going to, you know, he's so nogeya, he's not going to see things straight, and he's going to say things that he believes to be true, but aren't really true because he's not judging the case properly. Says the Rimi Gash, that's not a teretz, because you only say such a thing by a dayon, where there's an actual judgment call. Edim don't have to make any judgment call. Edim testify. All they do is they say facts. So it has nothing to do with whether he's colored by his own opinion or his own negios, his own biases. It shouldn't make a difference. So the Rishonim are bothered by this kasha. He's going to lie in court so that he not be considered a Rasha. You're a Rasha if you lie. So most of the Rishonim suggest that his concern of not being a Rasha is not klape shemayim, that he's not concerned that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to consider him a Rasha. No, he's lying in court. Obviously, he's going to be a Rasha one way or the other, whether he doesn't pay back his chavos or whether he lies in court. His concern is his reputation. So if he lies in court and no one knows about it, so it doesn't ruin his reputation at all. But if he borrows money and he doesn't pay it back, that will kill his reputation. That's his primary concern. However, the Rimi Gash has a different suggestion. The Rimi Gash says, you know, all we're saying is that he's a nogeya. We didn't say that we think he's going to lie. We're saying he's nogeya, that he wants the lokeach to have this property because he wants to be able to pay back his chovos. Nogeya doesn't mean that he's going to lie. He says the psul of nogeya has nothing to do with meshaker. The psul nogeya be'edus is because whenever there's a bias or a benefit in his edus, it's considered as if he's being meyid al atzmo, and adam karovets al atzmo. It's a psul kurva, psul nogeya. It's not a psul of chash meshaker. Psul kurva, even Moshe v'Aaron aren't believed to testify about each other, even though we absolutely trust them. We don't think for a moment that they're going to lie. It just happens to be that they're minatara, that there's a psul called a psul kurva. So that's why the Rimi Gash suggests the nogeya over here is a psul, and it's not that even though this is a fellow who's very honest and doesn't want to be called a Rasha. Honesty, yes, but that doesn't mean he's not pasul eidos. Now, why don't the other Rishonim say like the Rimi Gash? So says the Shach in Chol Shemishpat Siman Lamed Zayin, it must be that they hold that the psul nogeya is chashash meshaker. So this is the famous diyun in the Achronim, whether the psul of nogeya be'edos is because we think he's going to lie as a result of the nogeya be'edos, or is it no, like a psul karov, that it's an automatic, that he's pasul, he's adam karovets latzmo, and therefore he's pasul. Some of the Achronim aren't so convinced that the Shach is correct about that. But because the other Rishonim don't give the Rimi Gash's answer, it means that they don't hold the Rimi Gash. Maybe they had other answers. So they give, meaning the other answer is a very simple answer, that this has absolutely nothing to do with his Rishos Klape Shemaya. It has everything to do with his reputation. So it's very difficult to bring a Raya in what the Shita of Rishonim is from what they don't say. It's much, much stronger when you're able to bring a Raya from what they do say. The Yad Ramah brings a Raya from here that for the Psul Nogeya, you don't need to be, you don't need to have a financial benefit in the Psul Nogeya. I mean, what's the concern over here? We think he's Nogeya Be'edos because he wants to be known as a fellow who pays back his loans. That's a reputation issue. That is not a money issue. So you see, says the Yad Ramah, that Nogeya, in order to be nogeya doesn't mean that you have to have monetary benefit. It just means that there's going to be some sort of benefit. Whereas the Marit says, no, if you're going to pass someone mitzad negiya, it has to be that there's a mamon issue. And what about our sugya, shalo yikru love of Russia, that he doesn't want to be called the love of Russia of lo yishalim? That's also a monetary issue. Because anytime he's going to have this kind of situation, he's going to have to be very careful to be motzi mamon in order not to be considered a Russia. Anytime he wants to borrow money, he's going to have to be very careful in what he spends, and he's going to have to save a lot more in order that, so it is a money issue, he's going to have to save more money. And his raya is that a Navia Chasa and a Navia Kala are allowed to be meyed zelazeh. And the Chorei says, if the concern is Kiruv Das, that who would I favor? Of course I'm going to favor my Mechutin, which is an interesting relationship to choose. He says, of course I'm going to favor my Mechutin. But nevertheless, it's not a Hana'as Mamon Shalmamish. If there's no Hana'as Mamon Shalmamish, so that would not be a Psul Nogeh, and that's why they could testify for each other. Rav Elchanan just asks on the Ma'arit, you know, we said earlier that if there's a Sefer Torah in the city that someone took, I'm not allowed to be made. If I live in the city, I can't be made about that Sefer Torah. Why? D'lishmiya ka'i. That Sefer Torah is for everybody, so I'm nogeya b'davar. Says Rav Elchanan, where's the money? Where's the monetary negiya? It doesn't sound like it's a monetary negiya at all. It's a negiya in terms of the being able to be yotzei a mitzvah. So it sounds against the Ma'arit that you don't need a monetary negiya in order for something to be considered negiya. You just need a negiya. You just need to have some sort of a negiya. So it doesn't have to be that it's necessarily a financial negiya. The one final issue over here, there is a discussion in the Achronim, what would be the din when you know that this mocher is not makbid about being called a Rasha? Every other business deal he's ever done in his life, he's not worried about being called a Rasha. So now all of a sudden, oh, I want this to belong to the Lokeach because I don't want to be called a Rasha. So the Sma holds Enochinami. In that case, he's not considered to be a Nogea Be'edus. Says the Shach, what do you mean he's not considered to be Nogea Be'edus when he generally doesn't care? He says, how are you going to define who's a person who generally doesn't care about being called a Rasha? Anytime anyone, you Google him, and if anyone online has something bad to say about him, so he's someone who doesn't care about being called a Rasha? There's no way to define that. Meaning different people have different levels of thick skin and different levels of sensitivity. So there's no clear definition. It's very difficult to make a halacha like that, that you're going to change it based on how much he cares about being a Rasha. Furthermore, says the Shach, in our sugi, it sounds like no matter what, we're choshesh to consider him nogea mishum lova Rasha. Because otherwise, the Gemara could have just answered on the Kasha that maybe he's ma'amida b'fnei balchovo, that he shouldn't be called a Rasha. Then, nah, don't worry, he's not being ma'amida b'fnei balchovo, he's just someone who's not makbid that he's called a Rasha. The Gemara never raises such a svara, such a possibility to distinguish. And therefore, the Shach disagrees with the Sma, and he says it sounds the pashtus of all of the poskim is that you can't be mechalek on something that's masur lulev like this, and something that's really dependent on the person's own personality. You can't be mechalek at all. So, okay, vayter in the Gemara now. We are about 6 lines from the top of the page. Machriz Rava, new Indian now. Machriz Rava vitem Rav Papa. Rava announced, some say it was Rav Papa that made this major announcement. Desalkin la'elo denachtin latasa. Those who travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael who make aliyah, and those who go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hai Bar Yisrael should all be aware of the following. Hai Bar Yisrael de Zavin Le Chamra Li Yisrael Chavrei. If you have a Jew that sold a donkey to his Jewish friend, so Reuven sells a donkey to Shimon, V'ka'asi Akum Va'anas Leminei, and a guy comes along and takes it away from Shimon, he seizes that donkey from Shimon, Dinuhu demaftzi leminei. The halacha is that Reuven better take care of that issue. He better resolve that issue. He is responsible for the fact that the guy took it away from Shimon. So says the Gemara, but that's v'lo amarne ela she'eno makirba she'ibas chamoro. That's only if it's not obvious that by looking at the donkey that this donkey once belonged to Reuven. If it's not obvious, then it could be the guy had a taina, and therefore Reuven has to take care of it. Avol makirba she'ibas chamoro. But if everyone realizes this was clearly Reuven's donkey to sell to Shimon, it looks like all of Reuven's other donkeys, it was clearly part of his flock, property was part of his possessions, and Reuven sold it to Shimon, and a guy took it away, the guy is Stam, being a bandit. He's obviously stealing something. That's not Reuven's responsibility. Every time you get mugged, it's not my responsibility. When the mugger takes your wallet, I sold you the wallet, so what? It's my responsibility. No, he's obviously just bothering you. He says also the only case the Reuven, the seller, still has to worry about this is if when the guy takes the donkey, he leaves the saddle by Shimon. He doesn't take the saddle also. But if he takes the saddle also, then we know that he's just a ganav and it's not going to be Reuven's problem. You see, if he doesn't take the saddle, if he was really just a ganav, why didn't he take the saddle? Why would he take the saddle off and say, the donkey's mine, saddle is yours, the donkey's mine? No, if he was a ganav, he would take everything. So I only have to worry about this if the guy is not a ganav. But if the guy is tam a ganav, then the seller is not, it's not the seller's responsibility. Even if you don't have all these rayas that he's a ganav, still it's not Reuven's problem. Even if it's not clear at all from anything that the guy does that the guy is a ganav, still it's not Reuven's problem. My timer made the yada the stam ovid chavim anashu. It's understood that when a guy does these things, he's an anas. He's a person who likely is a ganav and he just tries to mug people. Shedemar asher piyam diber shav v'yeminam yimin sheker, because that's their nature. They spew lies. They're full of sheker, and therefore there's every assumption that the guy that took it away from Shimon is a ganav. It's not my problem to have to reimburse the lokeach. Tosus points out over here, dinu hu demafzilei temel rashba delemele icy raya de bedintar fa vashalimach. Why does Reuven have to get involved and start paying back Shimon and start dealing with the case? Can't Reuven say to Shimon, bring me a raya that he took it away legally from you and that he had a real taina on it, that it wasn't mine to sell to you, and then I'll pay you? If a Jew took it away from you, a Jew stam came and took the donkey away from you, I as the seller would be able to say, good, show me that he had a reason to take it away from you, show me that he had a right to take it away from you, then I'll happily reimburse you. But until you prove that, why should I have to reimburse you? So kal v'chomer, when a guy takes it away from you, I should be able to say that. No, it's not that there was no justice over here, that the guy just grabbed it. He went to a court, it was just b'dinei akum, it just wasn't a beis din. So there was a court that said that it belongs to him. So that's considered a legitimate enough taina that it didn't belong to Reuven to sell to Shimon in the first place, that Reuven is going to have to deal with it. The Rishonim explained the difference between the Rashbam, the Ritva, they explained the difference between a guy takes the donkey away and Yisrael takes the donkey away, is that if it were Yisrael, the Lokeach could go and take the Yisrael to a Din Torah. Why don't you just take my donkey without Edim, without a Raya, without anything? So you can take him to a Din Torah. But by a guy, you don't have that possibility. You can't be forced him to go to a Din Torah, and therefore there is some indication that maybe the guy took this legally, so therefore I go back to the mocher. But what does it mean exactly, yifatza mocher salokeach, that I sold you the donkey got taken away from you, so I have to deal with it? In what way do I have to deal with it? What exactly is my responsibility? There are three shitos in Rishonim what that means. Tosos and Dibra Masludina that we just read seems that you have to give him back the money, that you have to pay him. Because Tosos' whole discussion is, why do I have to pay him? Because, so it sounds like Yifatza means that you do have to pay him, that if he paid me for this donkey, another donkey got taken away from me, I charged him $100 for this donkey, I got to pay him back $100. Some of the Rishonim suggest that the mocher has to be poda the donkey from the guy. I don't have to pay him back the money. I got to buy the donkey from the guy and give the donkey back. He's not interested in his money back. He bought a donkey because he wants a donkey. The Ritva and the Yad Ramah suggests that he doesn't have to pay him. He just has to go through the tircha of going through all the legalities he has to deal with everything. He doesn't have to pay him because his chiyuv achrayus is only if they take it away from the lokeach al pi din. But over here, it wasn't taken away al pi din. But he does have to go to be done with the guy and to bring edim that it doesn't belong to the guy. So that much he's going to have to do. Also, there's a discussion in the Rishonim. We said that if the guy takes not just the donkey, he takes the saddle as well, so then the guy's stamaganav, and I don't have to deal with it. It's not my problem that the guy's stamaganav. How do you know he's a ganav just because he took the saddle also? Maybe the guy is claiming that the donkey belongs to him, and the saddle belongs to him. Is it so crazy that the saddle that's on the back of that donkey might also belong to the guy? So just because he takes a saddle, it's a raya that he's a ganav? So the Rashbam writes that bistam, we assume a guy is a ganav. It's just that if he leaves the saddle, it's a raya that he's not a ganav. So the default position is to assume that he's a ganav. When he doesn't take the saddle, he's not taking everything he can, so that's a raya that he's not a ganav. The Ritva understands that no, from the fact that he takes the saddle, it's a raya that he's a ganav, because who would recognize a saddle? They all look the same. So interesting. It assumes donkeys don't all look the same. The donkeys, everyone's going to be able to tell the difference. Oh, is this one that belongs to these, that looks like it belongs in Reuven's flock? I don't know. People are able to, but a saddle, they all look the same. So obviously, by even claiming that the saddle belongs to him, it's a raya that he's a ganav, because no one can make such a claim. No one knows what a saddle looks like. That's how the Ritva understands. The Yad Ramah understands that we're talking about where the Lokeach knows for sure that the Ukaf belonged to the Moch. He wasn't sure about the donkey, because now there's questions about this donkey, but he knew that the saddle itself belonged to the mocher. So the lokeach himself realizes that this guy is stam and anas, and he's a ganav, and he can't be trusted. This idea of PM Dibershavi, Yaminim Yamin Sheker, plays out in another area of halacha. The Rishonim, the Gaonim even, discuss if you live in a Jewish neighborhood, are you allowed to sell your house to a guy? When you sell your house, so the can the neighbors have a taina that we're afraid PM Dibershavi Minim Yamin Sheker, and it's going to ruin the neighborhood because they're going to do things that are going to cost us money, they're going to be unfair to us, or whatever the concerns might be. So the Pesachei Tshuva has a whole discussion of various shitos in Rishonim. He says that according to the Gaonim, Asur b'chol inyan, to rent a house to a guy, even if a person is poor and he needs the rental money, and even if he's mekabel on himself all the hefsid that's going to come as a result of the mechira. Then others disagree and say that no, it's only if you're doing it because you want to make more money, but if you need it for your basic parnasa, then you're allowed to do it. The Rosh and the Torah say mutal lecharchila. That's mutal lecharchila, even if you're not mekabel on yourself any sort of responsibility for it. If you can't find a Jew to buy it, so you sell it to a guy, that's the but it's all based on this issue of whether it's considered to be like one is ruining the neighborhood. Rosh Shlomo Zalman points out that you really have to know the neighborhood, meaning if it's a neighborhood that's a mixed neighborhood to begin with, so then no one could come with a taina that you're the one that's ruining the neighborhood. He talks about this, forget about Jews. Yeah, someone's going to tell you, you're selling your house to a non-Shomer Shabbos, now there's going to be Chilul Shabbos in the neighborhood. Look around, there are cars that drive down the street on Shabbos anyway, there's already Chilul Shabbos in the neighborhood. But maybe in a neighborhood where there isn't any Chilul Shabbos, and now all of a sudden you're bringing Chilul Shabbos into the neighborhood. It's not an issue of Lifnei Iver that you're selling and renting a house to someone who's going to be Mechal Shabbos, because you're providing them with the ability to now turn on lights in the house and to cook things in the house, because that's not Lifnei Iver. You're providing them the opportunity to live. How they live is how they live. It's like Rav Moshe has a tshuva about renting a catering hall, a wedding hall, to people who at the wedding they're going to have mixed dancing, at the wedding they're going to do things that are not Al Pi Atznius or whatever. So Rav Moshe says, that's not your problem. You're renting for people to get married. Getting married is mutter. You're allowed to. That's not the way they used to define getting married as mutter. That's not the issue. The fact that they happen to be doing other things there, that's secondary. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that's all true. It's not lifnei iver, but one does have to be cognizant of everything else of the whole neighborhood. If you're the one that's introducing Chilul Shabbos into the neighborhood, so that might be a problem. Legalities aside, it's probably illegal to take any of these things into consideration. But in terms of halacha, okay, umanein lo chazaka. The Mishnah had said that an uman doesn't have a chazaka, meaning if I'm a tailor, I can't say, oh, look at all this clothing, it all belongs to me, and it doesn't belong to anyone. Of course, there's a lot of clothing in my shop. I'm a tailor, that's what I do. People bring me their stuff. So this whole idea that an uman doesn't have a chazaka is only if when you gave your suit to the tailor, you made sure that there were edim there that saw that you gave the suit to the tailor. Then he can't claim that it belongs to him. Avol masr lo shelo be'edim, But if you gave it to him not in front of Edim, mitoch she'achalomar lo hayudvar me'olam, since the tailor could always tie no what suit? I don't know of any suit. So therefore, ki'amar le'inami l'kuchi biyadi mehemen. Now that he is acknowledging that there is a suit, but he's claiming that it's his suit, so now he's going to be believed. He's believed to say that it in fact belongs to him. The Rashbam and Tosos over here in Dibra Maskal Aval ask on Rabbah, why should an Uman be able to say Lukuchi Biyadi, even though there were Edim that it used to belong to the Ma'arer? Why is there any different than Kalim HaSuyim LaHashul LaHaskir, that Kalim that are normally given out, where someone says Lukuchi Biyadi, the Ma'arer says, no, there are Edim that it used to belong to me, the guy is not believed to say Lukuchi Biyadi in that situation. So why is this any different? Meaning, the Kalim HaSuyim LaHashul LaHaskir is not about the person. It's not about that this person normally gets things that aren't his, like a tailor. It's about the object, that the object easily transfers one person to the other and gets passed around a lot. But my nafkamina, whether the reason that this that change of possession is not a raya, that it belongs to the other person, is because the object typically gets passed around, or because the gavra typically gets things passed to him that aren't his. What difference should it make? So that's a kasha that the Rishonim deal with. Why would Kalim Asuim Lashalaskir be any different than the Uman? So anyway, so Rabbah says the whole discussion that the Uman doesn't have a chazakah is only if you gave it to him be'edim, and the edim could say, yeah, we saw he was giving his suit into the tailor. He was not transferring ownership of the suit. But if there are no edim, then the uman is believed with amigo that he could have said lahadam. He could have said that I don't know what suit you're talking about. So we believe him to say that it's lukuchi biado. So amale Abaye. So Abaye says, ihachi, if that's true, afil be'edim nami. Even if you gave it to him with edim, he still has amigo. Mitoch shiachal omer lo hichzartiv lach. Shouldn't he be believed anyway? Because he could have said, yeah, you gave it to me and I gave it back to you. I returned it back to you. So that we should believe him to say that he bought it and that it's his, that the suit now belongs to the tailor, because he could have tied it that he gave it back and he would have been believed. So Rabbi says, you think he would have been believed? Why, you think when someone is gives a pikadon with Edom, you don't have to give it back in front of Edom? If you give a pikadon with Edom, you absolutely need to return it with Edom. So it's not sufficient to the guy would not be believed with amigo that he could have said I gave it back. He would not be believed at all that he gave it back, because you have to give it back with Edom. Tosos raises the question that even if we're talking about where there were Edim, that the Uman the Uman should still be Naman that he bought the object, because Migo he could have tied that Nansa. He could have tied it, yes, you gave it to me, but an onus happened, and that he'd be believed with a Shvua. You have such an idea that you have a Migo with a Shvua. The Migo, I could have tied something with a Shvua. The Gemara is going to say Daf Ayinam Lalf, that Mafkadetz Chaver Bishtar, he's Naman to say, Shvua that I gave it back, Migo Shiachalom Nensu, Migo that he could have said that it was Nensu. So Rabbi Natan suggests that Abaye Enochinami could have asked this Kashan Rabba, but he didn't think of asking it right now. Instead, he asked from a Brisa, and at the end, it's going to turn out that Rabba holds that he wouldn't have been able to say that I gave it back, because the case is, at the end of the day, we're going to say that the case is that Rabba only holds this way when Ra'a, when we see it, that it's in his hands. So he would not be believed to say that Nansu, because we see that he actually has it right now. So Abaye asks on Rabbah from the following. So again, Rabbah is the one who said that if it's given without Edim, the Uman can always claim that it belongs to him and he'd be believed. So Abaye challenges Rabbah. Ra'a avdo bi'ad Uman. If you see your Eved by an Uman, why would your Eved be by an Uman? What's the Uman going to do to your Eved? So Rashbam explains, he's teaching him an Umnus. You see, you send your Eved to the tailor, not to tailor your Eved, but to teach your Eved to be a tailor. So he's training him. So you see your Eved by an Uman. Vitaliso biad koves. Or you see your clothing by a launderer. Omer lo mativo atzlecha. And you say to him, hey, why do you have my eved? Why do you have my talis? So Amalei, he says to him, ata mechartali, ata nasatali b'matana. You gave him, you sold him to me. You gave him to me as a matana. Lo amar klum. We don't believe the uman that the eved or the talis belongs to him. But if he says, bifanai amartalo lemochro, velitalo b'matana, that in front of me, you told someone to sell it to me. You told someone to give it to me as a matana. Then dvar of kayamin. Then we do believe him. So I ask the Gemara, why should that be the case? Why does it make a difference whether the launderer says, you gave it to me as a, you gave me this talis as a matana, or the launderer says, you told somebody else to give it to me as a matana? Why would he be believed that you told somebody else to give it to me as a matana, but not believed to say you yourself gave it to me as a matana? Which is more likely, right? So Amar Rabba, Seifa biyotzi mitachsi de acher. No, the case of the Seifa is not that you found your talis by the dry cleaners. You go to the dry cleaners and say, hey, that's my talis. No, you go to the dry cleaners, you see a guy walking out with your talis. And you say, what's going, why does that guy have my talis? So you ask the guy who has it, what are you doing with my talis? The guy that has your talis says, what do you mean? I was there when you told this launderer to give it to me as a matana. So that's why I have it. I know that you instructed him to give it to me as a matana. I mean, I don't deny that this used to belong to you, but I know that you told him to give it to me as a matana. Then he's believed. Why? Because definitely, if it's not an uman, the person who currently has it is not the dry cleaner. The person who currently has it is just a guy. He'd be believed to say, you sold it to me. I have a chazak and I have possession of it. You sold it to me. So therefore, if he's not saying you sold it to me, but he's saying you told the dry cleaner that he should sell it to me or that he should give it to me, so he's going to be believed. That's a valid migo. So what does this have to do with the machlokas Abaye and Rabba? Katani mihas resha ra'a. The case of the resha was where you see it by the uman and you say, what are you doing with my stuff? And the uman says, oh, you sold it to me? We don't believe the uman. Well, hey, chidami, what exactly is the case? What are the circumstances under which you gave it to the uman? Idi ike edim lamali ra'a. If there are edim there, why would you? Why do you need to see it by the uman? Nesi edim v'nishkal. Just bring the edim that saw that you gave it to the uman and get it back, even if you don't see it from the uman. Elav deleka edim. It must be that there were no edim that saw you give it to the uman in the first place. V'chi ra'a mihatafisle. Even though there were no edim that saw you give it to him, apparently you're allowed to get it back from him when you see it in his possession. That's what the Bryce is telling us, that you can demand it back even though there were no edim that saw you give it to him. That's against Rabba. Rabba says that you can only get it back from the uman. The uman only doesn't have a chazaka if there were edim that saw you give it to him. But if there were no edim that saw you give it to him, Rabba says you can't get it back from him. But over here, this Bryce seems to say that even though there are no edim, now that you see it by the uman, you're allowed to demand it back. Says Marlo, Liolam Diika Edim Vuhudara'a. That really there are edim that saw you give it to him, and you can only get it back because you see it. But wait a second, aren't you, Rabba, the one that said that even if you don't see it by the human, even if you don't even, there's no proof that the human still has it, Rabba would say you could still demand payment, you could still demand it back from the human, because if there are edim that you gave it to him, he should have known not to give it back to you without edim. If there had to be edim in the original transfer when you gave it to him, then there better be edim when he transfers it back to you. Sarmalei, Hadribi. So Rabbi says, yeah, that part I changed my mind about. I no longer hold that that you have to give it back dafka with edim. I changed my mind about that particular issue. Now it happens to be that that's a machlokas tanaim. So, meaning, even though Rabbi said it as a davar pashut at the top of the amud, oh, of course, mafkir chaver is beedim ein tzarich laksul that ein tzarich laksul mafkir is chaver beedim tzarich laksul beedim. It's in fact a machlokas tanaim elsewhere whether mafkir is chaver beedim tzarich laksul beedim. That's what Tosus points out. That's a machlokas in Shavuos stuff mem aleph from base. So therefore, he says, okay, I used to pass on like one side in that machlokas tanaim. Now I pass on tonight, the other side of the machlokas tonight. The next step is Rava is going to bring a raya to Rabba against Abaye, and then the Gemara is going to bring a raya the other way for Abaye against Rabba, and ultimately he's going to ask a tiyuf on Rabba. But we'll pick up with Masav Rava Bez Hashem tomorrow.